The Lord God has given me the tongue of a disciple as one who is taught, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He wakens me morning by morning. He wakens my ear to hear as disciple, as one who is taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I've not been rebellious, nor have I turned backward. Father, we just thank you for your presence in this place tonight. Lord, I sense in my spirit that there have been many that came tonight, Lord God, that are weary in their spirit, weary from circumstances. And I'm also very much aware that there are many here tonight who need breakthroughs. So Holy Spirit, knowing this by you, I ask you now to come and manifest yourself in whichever way you see fit, that you would impart into these vessels that are here tonight, Lord God, your strength, your wisdom, your word, your encouragement, your direction, and a supply of your power, Lord God, a measure of your faith, maybe a measure beyond what they've known. And we just ask you for that, Lord, because I sense in my spirit, Lord, that many that are here tonight, Lord, have dedicated their lives to serving you, but are looking, Lord, for something beyond what they've ever experienced or even known. And so, Lord, as you direct us in the scriptures, Lord, that our purpose in life is to know you and to know you more intimately, become more deeply acquainted with you and the power outflowing from the resurrection. And so we receive these things tonight. We give you all the glory and all the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God is so good. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Well, it's good to be here. You guys are looking awful excited tonight. We're smaller group tonight, which is good. I don't always go by the crowd size. But you always wonder when you get a certain message, the people that show up, you know, that message is for those people. It's not for the people that aren't here, maybe. But maybe that's not true. Maybe people just didn't hear that they were supposed to come tonight and didn't come. Or maybe they just got busy. Maybe they had a haircut or, you know, who knows. There's so many things, you know. The problem is that, you know, I can't help but be a coach. I just, even though I don't coach anymore in terms of athletics, that coach in me just remains, you know. And you always want your athletes there, you know. And so you get, if you didn't show up for workout the other night, where were you, you know. And so it's important that we come and get charged up, because this isn't, you know, we got some people coming to so many different churches. This is just an equipping meeting. It's something that you come to get something to be equipped with, because you have ministries. And so I'm excited to hear about what goes on out there, outside the walls in your life, because that's where it counts. Amen. So I'm in Genesis tonight. It's chapter 2. And I waited all day to get this, and so I'm just counting on the Holy Spirit to put this together tonight, because it took all day. Verse 8. The Lord God planted a garden towards the east in Eden, and there he placed a man who he had formed. Out of the ground the Lord caused to grow every tree that was pleasing to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now a river flowed out of Eden to water the garden. You know, rivers are really interesting in the Bible. Talks a lot about rivers through the Bible, and we're going to go into that tonight. We're going to talk about rivers. I have no earthly idea what I'm going to say about rivers, but we're going to talk about it. Amen. So let's just hope that God will give you some revelation of what a river is. And maybe you're thinking, Todd, I already know what a river is, and you would be right on that. But maybe God will take you down a little spiritual trail tonight. But it says a river flowed out of Eden to water the garden. God was very concerned about what he made would be maintained. And so he sent rivers and made rivers. And it says, and from there it divided and became four rivers. So one river went, and it flowed out and became into four rivers. The name of the first is Pishon. It flows around the whole land of Havilah. I almost thought that was Hawaii there for a second, but it's Havilah, where there is gold. And that Hebrew word Havilah means just kind of like a sand region. But in this particular place where this river went, it went into a sandy region, but there was gold there. And the gold of that land is good. And the bdellium and the onyx stone are there as well. So there was precious jewels where this river went. And it's interesting that why, you know, you read that scripture and you say, why in the world is that even listed? What does God need gold anyway with, you know? So there's a lot in, there's a lot of information that comes sometimes in scripture that we need to dig and drill down in. So maybe God's talking to you to drill down into that. But I'm just saying that this particular river where it went, you know, there was gold and precious jewels. And it said the gold in that land is good. I don't know what, I guess there's bad gold, because if the Bible says there's good gold, there must be bad gold out there, right? But this is good gold. Amen. Is that what, that's what the word says. It was good gold. Amen. You got some good gold at home? I hope you do. Do you need some? Then go find where this river's at. The gold of that land is good. It says the name of the second river is Gihon. It flows around the whole land of Cush. Now that particular river's name in Hebrew means burst, to burst forth, to gush to burst forth. And the name of the third river is the Tigris. The Tigris in Hebrew means just a swift river, fast river, flows from the east of Assyria. And the fourth river is the river Euphrates, which is an important river because it is actually a river that was listed in the book of Revelation. Now, just so you know this, that when the flood happened, it did mess a lot of this stuff up. I mean, people always are trying to search for this and search for that. Well, there was a great flood, and the flood covered the whole entire of the earth. And so the earth was a little bit reshaped after that, so just so you know that. But there still is a river Euphrates. In fact, in the scripture, it says in the book of Revelation that in the last days that the Euphrates River will actually dry up. And apparently that's been happening. If any of you that have been kind of looking at what's going on in the earth, that's drying up. And it's not drying up because of a dam, it's just drying up. Although there are dams that can cause that river to stop flowing from Turkey and completely dry it up, where an army could cross, as it talks about in the book of Revelations, but that's just a side note. So rivers many times represent powerful symbols of life. It represents an abundance and divine provision. It often represents God's life-giving presence, spiritual refreshment, and divine blessing. Rivers in Scripture are depicted as sources of sustenance and renewal, flowing from God's throne or from the presence of God. And Psalm, and go to, if you go to Revelation chapter 22, verse 1 says, "Then he showed me a river of water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the land, from the throne of God and from the Lamb." I don't know if you ever heard that song, "Crystal Blue Persuasion," but the guy who wrote that wrote it out of the, he got saved, was reading the Bible, he was in a band, and he wrote a song based on this scripture, believe it or not. In the middle of its street, on either side of the river, was the tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit in every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there will no longer be any curse, and the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his bondservants will serve him. And they will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. And they will no longer be any night, nor will they have any need of light of lamp or light of the sun, because the Lord God will illuminate them, and they will reign forever and ever. And he said to me, "These words are faithful and true." And the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, sent his angel to show to his bondservants the things which must soon take place. And behold, I am coming quickly, Blessed is he who heeds the words of this prophecy of this book. And so this talks about a river here, that this river and the trees of life, and that the leaves of these trees will be for the healings. A lot of people interpret that as our hands, and I'm going to go into more detail on that in just a little bit. But that is another river that God has in the scripture, that's a crystal river. You know, I've heard even people that have said that, see, the power of God, the light of God is so bright that it's apparently when you're in the spirit, or when you die, or when you pass on, you actually can see without being blinded by it. But apparently it's so bright, there's no need of a sun. It's just everywhere. Just everywhere. And it's hard to imagine these things, but these things are true, because we live in a, you have to understand, this realm is, we're in a fallen realm. And everything here dies. Everything is corrupted. And God's going to restore all that. So just as it did, just as you saw in the beginning of Eden, is all going to go back to that. It's all going to be restored. And you wonder what it is that we're going to be doing. You know, what is it that we're going to be doing? We put so much, I'm not saying that this life is not important, because it is. But we put so much stock in it. We are so concerned about this life. I think I shared 2 weeks ago, the Holy Spirit spoke to me, said, stop being concerned about anything. And it came to me, not, he wasn't yelling at me, but it came to me in a way that it was kind of like what she was sharing. It came to me in such a way that gave me the ability to be able to identify when I was being concerned and to back off from it. I've never, ever had that happen to me in my life. And so, of course, there's about 3 or 4 things going on where normally I would be concerned about it. I would say I would be worried about it. I would deny that I'm in worry. You couldn't get me to say that I'm worried, because Christians don't worry. Worry's sin. And you could say that to me, but I would be that way. But I don't know what happened. It's something I told my wife, I sound like I snapped or what happened, but something snapped inside of me and said, stop being so concerned about this world. And the Holy Spirit started showing me how much, you know, because when I'm concerned about it, I'm invested in it. He doesn't want me invested in this realm, in this world. Doesn't mean he doesn't make me take care of things. Don't get me wrong. I've been taking care of things all day long, but they're a lot easier to take care of without the added pressure of worry or concern, because it's not going to mean anything for 80 years from now. And this is why Jesus was saying that you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And people are not free. Christians, a lot of Christians are not free. They know the truth, but they're not free. Now they're being made to get free, but we have something to do with that process. Not in the sense that God is, we're the clay and he's forming us, but in the sense of receiving truth. Because when you receive truth and it gets inside of you and it becomes part of you, in a sense that it's real, it's tangible, it's something that is, I know I'm not concerned because I'm not concerned. It's kind of blowing my wife's mind a little bit. It's like, who are you? I just, you know, she didn't do this, but she backed up into a car recently, and I didn't get upset about it. That was just real, I had to be God right there, because she's done it more than once. Amen? Now, me being the loving husband that I am and not being concerned anything, I said, well, yeah, I'll just move the cars around before she can even do it. Well, that's a solution. That's getting ahead of the game, right? So I'm proactive, and I'm not worried about it because there's nothing to worry about because the cars are now moved. And I take care of that every day. Now, I really should see if I'm really walking with that not being concerned and just leave those cars as close together as I can, just to see if I'm really walking out with no concern. You see how I set myself up? Now, I haven't bought chocolate donuts now in 2 months now that I've confessed to everybody that I was hogging them here. I mean, I'm really growing. So just thank you for your prayers. I know you all pray for me. You see, pray for me every day. Thank you for that. So I'm really evolving. Anyway, see, I'm encouraging myself in the Lord. Did you ever do that? Get up in the morning and encourage yourself? Just get up in the morning and encourage yourself in the Lord. Amen? God is so good. Okay. Psalm chapter 46. It's another scripture on rivers here. I tried to look and I tried to drill down the meaning of this thing, and I tell you what, I'm convinced there's no commentary out there that knows what it means. It is just not knowable. But I'm going to try tonight. Amen.
Amen.
Psalm 46, verse 4. There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place of tabernacles of the Most High God. I almost think that's talking about that initial river in Eden. It's my opinion. But also, too, when you can see here, there is a river whose streams, the streams are making it glad. The streams are coming into the river. And I see in the last days, and I've seen this for quite some time, probably over 20-some years, where that ministries will stream together and work together as one. And, you know, when a stream comes into a river, it's no longer the name of the stream. It becomes the name of the river. It loses its identity. And ministries many times are like that. A lot of ministries, you know, like to, you know, use the person's name or whatever and this and that and, they're, and that type of thing. But, you know, there really has got to be a coming together with the body of Christ with these different ministries. And when you really see how I'm seeing in particular this particular gathering or meeting, how the different streams have come together to equip the body of Christ. You've got the stream of the evangelist. He brings the evangelistic gift. You know, you got the apostle and the prophet and the teacher and just the encouragers and all the different people that have other different ministries too that are just support ministries and so forth. And they come in and they become and they form this river. And this river, as the streams get together and as they begin to do this more, you really see how the level of the river, the level of the anointing rises. And this is just a principle that I've seen played out here. Now, what do you mean by that? Well, I mean, the presence of God, Jesus himself, comes and shows up. How do we know he's here? Because we're seeing healings, we've seen salvations, we've seen deliverances, we've seen the things that he only can do. And we give him glory for that. But that is a result of the streams coming together to form a river. And the river of God is full of life. The river of God is full of power. The river of God is full of encouragement. The river of God, as I shared last night, is full of love. The river of God is something that needs to be coming through us and in us, and we need to be in it so that we can be directed by it. Because I want to tell you something. Sometimes rivers, when they get coming down, they can move objects into their destination or the places they need to be. And some of you are experiencing transitions right now because the river of God is on your life, knowingly or unknowingly, and repositioning you to a different place, a place where you're needed, a place where there's strength. You know, sometimes we're so concerned about our own individual lives that we shelve our ministries over here, but really that's really what God's really concerned about is getting you to the place of those things he calls works prepared before the foundation of the world that you might walk into them. These are prepared things. People seek out God, but they don't seek out the things that God has prepared for them. Because when that's in your heart and you say, Lord, I know you prepared things. Show me the things that you prepared before me. Then the Holy Spirit begins to work with you to reveal those things. Now you're not wasting time. A lot of people waste time in ministry all the time. But a lot of people never get into ministry because you're going to get kicked by spiritual donkeys. And those are those pastors and those churches that never, ever encourage anybody to ever become a minister. They never train them up. They never send them out. They never do any of it. And they're going to pay a price for it. And that price is coming soon. Believe me. We have to understand that everybody has a calling in this world. You've got something you've got to accomplish. And you've got to be equipped to do it and encouraged to do it. You know, as I came out of my mouth the other week, one of the things that I don't understand about churches is they never, ever go to the people that are around their church. They don't even know how many people are saved in their community. They never do a census. They never go house to house. They don't do any of it. Because they're not doing it because they're not being led by the Holy Spirit. You can't tell me the Holy Spirit isn't concerned about people around this area. He is. And so I'm speaking to you that are going to be starting churches, because some of you are going to be starting churches. Go to the people where we're around. Go take the land, take the ground where you're at. Not everybody's going to get saved. Not everybody's going to want to follow God. But at least you're out there doing it. You see what I'm saying? We have been so tied up in the church from going out and reaching out people. It's just getting to the point where it's getting ridiculous. So anyway, enough said. I'm preaching to the choir here on that anyway. But it felt so good. Let's go to Isaiah 44. Isaiah chapter, is that right? Oh, in the wrong Bible. There we go. Actually, I'm in Isaiah 43, verse 18. Now, I shared this in a video a couple weeks ago. So do not earnestly remember the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive and know it? And will you not give heed to it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Now, if you're in a desert right now, or if you're in a situation where you need direction, this is a scripture for you, but it's interesting the things that it says, behold, I am doing a new thing. Now, one of the things, if you really are in your prayer and you really sense it, that you're sensing in the Holy Spirit that God is about to do a new thing in the earth. You know that to be true. You may not be able to identify it, may not be able to articulate it, but it's kind of like a knowing in your heart. You know that there is a change. There's a change coming to what we consider the visible church, okay? But you also got what I call the invisible church that's already unified. What do you mean by that? I mean by people that have learned to hear God, that hear His voice, are all over the planet right now, where He actually could and will at some point direct all of that. Could tell us all to do something very specific. And we all hear the same thing. And we all do it. The reason why I'm sharing this today, I think God wants to bring us up a level or two of how advanced and how far-reaching His church really is on this earth. And it's His church. And that's why it's important to learn to get to the point where we hear Him, because He says that His sheep hear His voice, they know His voice, and they know Him, and He knows them. And so that's why we want to get to that point, because that what the enemy wants to do is get us so concerned with our life, Todd, okay, where it blocks your hearing ear, because you're so occupied with this world. You're so occupied, yeah, we got problems, yeah, we got things got to take care of, but it's a matter of attitude, it's a matter of the way we would deal with those things. And if those things have us, they can consume us and short-circuit us to the place we can't hear. That's right. Because all we're hearing is the problem, or all we're hearing is our will. And those two things must be silenced. Jesus pointed right to you, says, I can only do the things I see the Father doing. He said, my teaching is not of my own. He was teaching what He was getting. He was walking. I remember so many times the miracles, the people would say, was this guy, did he have this problem because of sin? He says, no, this person is sick or whatever because to have the glory of God be revealed upon him. And he worked the miracle. That's why that person was that. And so you see, you have to understand that there are things that God is doing through you and through me at times unaware, you know, and so we need to hear Him. We need to understand that we can only do the things we see Jesus doing. And so occupied was Jesus with that. He said, my only aim is to do what is pleasing unto Him. Now, this is a goal. This is something what you're trying to get. Maybe you're not there yet, or maybe you are already there, or maybe you're on your way, wherever it is, but you want to get to the place where all it becomes about Him and pleasing Him. And then your ear hears. You can hear Him in your spirit, in your thought life. You know, it's amazing to me. I sit there, you know, I'll lose my keys or I'll put them somewhere. I do it all the time. And not because I'm just saying that just now. I'm eating the fruit of my lips. I just said it again. I shouldn't say that, but it's already been said. So, therefore, what's the solution? Lord, where did I put my keys? He always tells me where. Always. And how did I get it? A thought comes in my head. Now, surely, if I can hear God tell me where my keys are, I can hear him on more important things. Right? So, I just want to encourage you. The Lord is speaking to us. But we have to get rid of all these filters that we have in our way that are keeping us back from hearing that, you know, because, you know, I'm desperate. You know, you get desperate. We sing that song somewhere, some of the desperate, but, you know, we get desperate to get our keys because, you know, I've got to be somewhere. So desperation occurs. And all of a sudden, the ears, somehow the hearing gets turned up. Go, Holy Spirit, now you got to show me this. Now I got to be there. You know, God, da, 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 da. And all of a sudden, you know, because of the pressure of being somewhere, and then you can hear and you get your keys and you can go. But that has got to be our life, to where we can, God can speak a word to us out of his throne room, like he did to Philip or whatever, and, you know, I'm sending, you know, so such and such to you or whatever. I've got an interview tomorrow, but I'm not going to be interviewed. The guy that's there, I've got something to give him. He doesn't know that yet. You know, what is it on your docket tomorrow? Who's God sending you to tomorrow? What are you doing tomorrow? Are you sending to the DMV? Who has the DMV minister here? Is that you? Is God sending you to the DMV back there? Nope, not me. Are you sure you're not sent to go straighten them out? No. So rivers coming out of a desert. I like how he says, behold, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive and know it? And will you not give heed to it? So I would submit to you that you've been asking the Lord. You've been petitioning him on something. And he's saying to you, well, I'm going to do this thing. Will you not perceive it and give heed to it? Now, expectation is something that I really, you know, I love to give surprises. I love to do surprises for my wife. I get great expectation on just surprising her with things. You know, birthday, get whatever, flowers, whatever. I love doing that. I love the surprise. I just love them, you know. But there's an expectation I have in that, you know. What expectations do we have concerning the Lord in answering our prayers? I mean, when you pray, do you really have the expectation that he's going to answer? Now, it might not always be yes or whatever, but he will answer it. And that expectation has got to be built up in you, because expectation is a type of faith that opens up doors and with expectation. And so, but I will tell you this, that when you are in that place of expectation and you've shot up about four or five things, you'll be put in a waiting, I call it a, that's not a waiting cell, but in a kind of a hold, and now you're just kind of waiting for it to come in, you know? And but it will come. But if you notice in that time of waiting, that is where you get attacked. And that is where things come at you to try to convince you that God will not answer that prayer and that he will not help you. And though you never would believe that in your heart of hearts, the fact that you start to get concerned or worried, that's where the enemy gets and tears down your faith. And it blocks things and it hinders things and it causes them to be delayed. And I'm sharing that with you not because I'm giving you the answers of being able to get a breakthrough. Because if you've asked the Lord for something and you're at the place where you do expect him to answer you, then anything that would come against you at that point in time or anything that would communicate to you to try to tear or to steal or to kill or destroy any one of those things, just know the nature of that. And that's where you really have to dig in. But the scripture says here that a river, and this is speaking of Israel, because they were a desert. And it said a river is going to come out of that desert. And we know that they've been really blessed in the area of agriculture. They turned what a desert is into like a beautiful irrigated land with all kinds of crops and all kinds of things. This has happened. But if you are in a desert in your life, or you're in a desert situation, God wants to bring a river right out of it. He wants to bring a river out of it. He doesn't want to just get you just where you get a drink. He wants a river to come out of that, because desert experiences many times are the place where the Holy Spirit can really do a deep work inside of us. And he gets our attention, because there's nothing that is going right in this realm, and which directs us to the realm that he lives in. And we cry out to him. And it seems like this process keeps repeating itself. And where we get a little higher, it goes, and we get a little bit higher, and we get a little bit more of the Lord. Where we get to the place where we walk into a place of maturity. We really can identify and understand the very thoughts that are being projected at us to be able to properly discern the word of the Lord, to know the difference between our will and his voice, and on a consistent basis, not just once in a while. I mean, you can get to the place where we can get to that place where we can discern it. You know, we know that Peter, who was being taught by Jesus himself, he's sitting there and says that, he gets this revelation directly from heaven. And then a few minutes later, he says, no, Lord, this, you aren't going to be crucified and so forth. And Jesus turns and says, get behind me, Satan. So in one minute, he's in a revelation from heaven, and another minute, he's getting a revelation from Satan. And he wasn't far enough long to know the difference. But that's just to show you and me that, hey, yeah, we can get things from heaven, but we also can get things that aren't from there either. And we have to be able to know the difference. And this is what makes you mostly effective in your ministries, when you get to the place where you know the difference. Because when you're ministering to people, there are also thoughts that are coming into you as you're praying. And you can tell the difference between the Holy Spirit and what is the Lord by walking this type of thing out in your life. It doesn't just come by accident. It comes through practice. And so it's good if you're in a desert, because that means there's a river that's going to come out. And you're going to come out with that river. And that river is going to bring all kinds of prosperity and all kinds of things your way. Does it mean that you're going to have the good gold? Yes, you're going to have the good gold. The treasures of Jesus Christ is the best gold there is. And we have that. And I forget about that sometimes, that I have got something so valuable within me. So valuable. And I have it. There's nothing else to obtain, is there? Everything that I need pertaining to life resides within me. Amen. And it's being able to walk that out and to share that, because the biggest thing that has come against the American church is to keep it in its four walls. But the whole thing is that we get somebody that get, when somebody gets saved, they just want to tell everybody about it. That same spirit, that same hunger, that same motivation has got to be burning within us again, saints. We have to ask for it. I mean, you have to ask for it. Say, God, I know you want me to share. And sometimes I'm shy about it, but God, show me, teach me, lead me. Do what you have to do to get me out there, because I'm coming across people every day. And there's so many people that need prayer out there. You know, today I didn't see anybody except my family and my wife and so forth. I didn't see anybody all day long. So I didn't come in contact with anybody. But I had this tonight, and I have you, and so many people just keep coming up in my brain, and I just systematically go in prayer for people. And you're doing the same thing. Don't stop. If you're not seeing anybody that day, you're not going out outside the walls or whatever, see what you can do, at home. Maybe you can call somebody up, get in a conversation. Right. Rivers out of the desert. Ezekiel chapter 47. It's This is the, I love this verse. Starting in verse 1. Then he brought me back to the door of the house, and behold, water was flowing from under the threshold of the house towards the east, for the house faced the east, and water was flowing down from under the right side of the house, from the south of the altar. He brought me by the way of the north gate, led me around the gate outside the outer gate, by the way of the gate that faces the east, and behold, water was trickling from the south side. When the man went out towards the east with a line in his hand, that was an angel, he measured 1,000 cubits and led me through the water, water reaching the ankles. Again, he measured 1,000, led me through the water, water reaching the knees. Again, he measured 1,000, led me through water, water reaching the loins. Again, he measured 1,000. It was a river that I could not ford, for the water had risen, enough water to swim in, a river that I could not be forded. So the water comes out of the temple. The water comes out of the right side of the temple. And Jesus was pierced on the right side. It's almost like the beginning of the church, you know, when he got pierced with that spear and water and blood came out. That was the beginning of the church in a lot of ways. And so it's really interesting talking about the waters, and it talks about levels. It talks about things being measured, you know. And, you know, you are being measured faith all the time. Every man is given a measure of faith. But that measure of faith can be grown. When's the last time that you got before the Lord and said, I need a measure of faith? You know, I need more a measure of faith. Because I know that without faith it's impossible to please you. So I need a measure of faith. But what do you need it for? I mean, he's not going to give you a measure of faith so you can spend it on being something in this world, being concerned with the world. What do you need the faith for? You see, but if you're active in your ministries and your mission on this earth, you're going to know what you need it for. There's nothing wrong with going to the Lord and saying, I need a measure of faith. Now, I don't know what I'm asking a lot of times when I talk to God and I ask him stuff like that, because there's a lot of stuff that comes with the stuff. But it's always an area of training. He's always preparing our vessels to be able to handle more. But nevertheless, I should be asking for a measure of faith. I need a measure of faith. We got, you know, there's a lot of things that need to take place. I mean, I got all kinds of ideas for you guys here. I get ideas all the time. I do. I really, it's and they're writing them down. I mean, I just get it all the time, and I'm trying to be prepared. You know, what is that for? You know, I mean, God, why are you showing me a design of a church, but I'm not doing a church, or am I doing a church? What are you doing? You know what I'm saying? I've talked to my brother back there about it. You know, I've just it keeps coming and coming and coming. Now, is that for me to consult with other pastors? I don't really know. I'm not trying to figure it out. But I know I need a measure of faith to be able to carry it out. Same as with you. What is he speaking to you? What is the Holy Spirit leading you into? And you can identify it. And if you can, fine. If you can't, you'll ask for it. But you need a measure of faith for it. Nothing wrong with asking for that. You know, God isn't going to send us out to a job and not give us the equipment to do it. Amen? You know, so I like the fact that this river, it starts out as a trickle. And he's walking out, he's walking in water that's up to here, and then it becomes a place where it's a river that it can't be, it's you can swim in it. It can't be forded. In other words, now he's in this river, and now it's taking him. He's in the flow of God, and then it's taking him to his destination. And that's where we want to be. We want to be in a place where we're so saturated and so filled up with his presence that literally every day it's like we're in this river and we're just being taken right to our destination. You know, we're just being totally maneuvered by the Lord. And that river is so full of life. It's so full of power. It's so full of the love of God. It's something that you and I would there's nothing on this earth that could possibly satisfy us any more than being in the river of God, just totally surrounded by his presence. I have one more scripture. Well, it talks about this river too, where it goes. Let's read this on a little bit more, where it goes. This is actually kind of mirroring and kind of saying the same thing it said in the book of Revelation there. And he said, "Son of man, have you seen this?" Then he brought me back to the bank of the river. "Now when I had returned, behold, on the bank of the river, there were very many trees on one side and on the other." A lot of people think that the trees represent people. "He said to me, these waters go down towards the eastern region and go down into Araba. Then they go down towards the sea, being made to flow into the sea, and the waters of the sea became fresh. It will come about that every living creature which swarms in every place where this river goes," where the river goes, "will live. And there will be very many fish, for these waters go there, and others become fresh. So everything will live wherever the river goes. And it will come about that the fishermen will stand beside it from Engedi to Engleam. There will be a place for the spreading of nets, and their fish will be according to their kinds, like the fish of the great sea, very many. But its swamps and marshes will not become fresh. It will be left for salt. And by the river on its bank, on one side and the other, will grow all kinds of trees for food. Their leaves will not wither, and their fruit will not fail. They will bear every month. They will bear fruit every month, because their water flows from the sanctuary. And their fruit will be for food, and their leaves will be for healing." And that's a picture of the body of Christ, a picture of us being connected to the river of God, the flow of God, producing the fruit of the Holy Spirit 12 months out of the year. And our leaves, our hands, are for the healings of the nations. And this is a word that's already spoken, that we can walk in that word and experience this very thing. We have experienced it. But have we experienced it to the dimension of what the scriptures are talking about? A river that can't be forded, it can't be crossed, can't be stopped. The gospel of the kingdom being preached through the whole earth, and then the end will come. Can you imagine? I don't know how many Christians are on the earth. I would submit probably a billion, at least. But however many there are, could you imagine everybody just hearing from the throne room, tomorrow, you get up, get every person you know, and ask them, if, you know, give them the salvation. Preach the gospel of the kingdom to them. And everybody gets up and does it. How long would it take to cover the earth? I mean, we got phones now. I mean, literally, I can get my phone and make a phone call to India, do a pastor's conference over my phone to reach 30 pastors who reach hundreds of, I mean, you know, think about it now. You know, you can pick up a phone and talk to anybody around the world. The ability to be able to get the gospel of the kingdom to every soul on earth has exponentially increased in this age. You read the scripture too, because you read the scriptures, you can tell, like, well, how in the world is everybody going to know there's rumors of wars? Well, it's real easy now. You see what I'm saying? I mean, it's almost like the scriptures, some of these things, the technology would have to be in place to be able to know all those things. So this river is bringing life to everybody. One more scripture and then we'll go home. And John chapter, I know it's John chapter 6, chapter 7, I mean. Verse 38. It says, "He who believes in me, who cleaves to and trusts in and relies on me, as the scripture had said, from his innermost being shall flow continuously springs and rivers of living water." What are the conditions? He who believes in me, who cleaves to me and trusts and relies on me. So the person that has that the anointing that teaches them to abide in him, That's what the anointing teaches you, to abide in Jesus. When you're abiding in him and you're believing in him and you're trusting him. And when trusting him, it's in every aspect of your life. It's not just in a few, in every total submission of trust. In the sense that, well, I'm gonna just trust you, but I'm gonna have this fear inside. No, with no fear. No fear. There's no fear in faith. God has not given you one inch ounce of fear. He has not given you that. He hasn't given you a spirit of fear. Okay? So we're talking about trust and belief, and that has no fear in it. And the reason why I'm saying that to you, because you will pick it up if it is there. And if you're picking it up, it's okay, because you're able to identify it. Now you've got to attack it. Take it captive. Why are you fearing? We know the scripture says that he who is not perfected in love has fear. A person who has fear is not perfected in love. Because perfect love casteth out all fear. The one who walks in love, the wicked one touches him not. So love is an important element. It's an important key in our walk with the Lord. But to rely on him and to trust on him, then from his innermost being will flow continuously springs and rivers of living water. And how is that manifest? It manifests in so many different ways. Yeah, it is the power of the Holy Spirit, but it's also the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And the fruit of the Holy Spirit is what everybody on this earth is hungry for. The wedding I just attended, I'm watching all these young people like that, and most of them had no clue at all about what God's doing today. I mean, they're totally caught up in whatever. They can get up and they're playing the USC chant or whatever they do down at the stadium, you know, where everybody goes that song, it's called Sand or something like that, and they all go crazy and they're like that, you know, and they're all doing that, and I'm saying, what enthusiasm. That should be the church for Jesus right there. I mean, totally, you know, getting to the point where they're so saturated, they're just going crazy, you know. People taking their shirts off, guys. Taking, you know what I'm saying? Just like, just like totally going crazy and allowing that to inhabit them and saturate them. But that is exactly what should be happening in the church. We should be so, so far in. That we that manifests itself like that. And so the fruit of the Holy Spirit is what they're hungry for. They're looking for peace, but they can't find it in the world. And the peace that they find is temporary and it goes out. But you and I have the real thing. We have the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We have what the world is hungry for. And when you know this, and the river is inside of you, and you walk in that, and you know you got it, you can have complete, absolute confidence that you will find those works prepared for you, because you are loaded up. You are a refrigerator full of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And people are going to, you just be handing it out left and right. They won't even know why they're attracted to you. They won't even know why, what's different about you. They won't even understand it. But you know what? They're going to drink of it. And the word of the Lord will come through you and will pierce their heart. And that will go in just like a seed. And they will become Christians one day because of your obedience. Amen. So when you walk out the door tonight, you're walking out full of the river of God. The river of God is inside of you. And it's been maneuvering you. Some of you you've asked the Lord, what am I supposed to do? And all of a sudden, that river starts moving you. And maybe you're aware of it, maybe you're not aware of it. But it's still moving. It doesn't stop. God doesn't stop working on you. He doesn't sleep, in case you hadn't noticed. Amen. He's constantly coming at you. And you know why? Because we're his family. He wants family. That's what it was, a whole thing about the Garden of Eden is, we're his family. And we were deceived and we fell. And he's restoring all of that. Trust and relies on him. The scripture says, from his innermost being, that's from your heart, shall flow rivers of living water. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is amazing. It is what got me down here. I saw a man that was an Olympian, and he had it all. And he was from Ohio State, so it's kind of a party school up there. And he's known for his partying too, so he's an Olympic athlete / Olympic partier. But he got born again, and so radically changed, so much he changed that people would told me this. He said, "That Mike Finneran, I don't know who that is. He's dead. That's some other guy there." It just totally radically changed. And because I was a Christian, not really on fire Christian, but I was a Christian, I admired it. And just came up to him and said, "Hey, you know, I just want you to know, I just admire your change. See, I'm drawn to his fruit. I'm admiring how much you've changed and what you do. I just want you to know, I believe just like you. I know people are making fun of you, but I'm not. I'm just admiring." And he looked at me and said, "Hey, look, I'm going to put together the best team in the world, and I want you to be a part of it. I want you to come down, and I want you to start an age group diving program in the state of South Carolina, because there's not one." Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was like it just went down inside of me.
Praise God.
And I prayed about it. Mm-hmm. And so I did. I moved down here in 1982. Had no idea. He didn't even have permission to do one. He just believed. So we started it and got permission later. Now I went to all these swim clubs in this city. I just walked in there wanting to do lessons, trying to convince people to pay me a monthly fee to teach them how to dive, which there's no diving in high school in South Carolina. So it was a tough territory, but everybody, the Lord, everywhere I went, and every person that he selected, all became champions. They became NCAA All-Americans, and they became Olympians. Now, how could that happen? How could that happen?
They're going in the water,
that's right, they were in the water, amen. But what I'm trying to tell you is this, because one man got born again and got filled with the fruit of the Spirit, and crossed my path in my life that brought me down to South Carolina. And that's exactly what God is doing inside of each one of you. There's something inside of you that somebody's going to be attracted to. Now, I know we all got problems in life and that type of thing, and I'm believing for God to get you to the place that hopefully I am at in Jesus' name, of no life of no concern, but I'm walking it out. I'm walking it out. But I just want to encourage you that you have something to bring to the table. Amen? God's so good. Yeah, my sister right here, I want to give you a word of encouragement with the good-looking sunglasses there that are reflecting off you there.
Can I share something first?
Yes, amen. I want to give you a word of encouragement. God's so good. I've been sitting here all night preaching, and I felt like a lot of what I was preaching was going right at you. Amen? Which is a good thing. You know, the thing about it is, you know, You are. I just see really God really using you as a person that has a real inner strength to be able to change the will of an individual that is heading the wrong direction. And I just see God giving you real words of wisdom where you have a ministry to people who are ready to jump off the cliff. And what I mean by that is they have problems, they have mental problems, they have been put down, they have been rejected. They are lost, and God is going to send you into their life. Time and time again, God is going to use you that way. And you have a healing ministry, and the enemy has been blocking it and fighting it for a period of years now. In the name of Jesus Christ, I break the power of that spirit that's come against your mind to try to get you focused on other things, because God wants you focused on healing. You have a healing ministry, and it's not just to heal the sick. I mean, in terms of sickness and disease, it's the healing of the mind. And the wonderful counsel of the Prince of Peace is going to operate in your ministry to a greater dimension than ever before. And what I mean by that means he is the wonderful counselor. He is the counselor. His word's going to be in your mouth. He's going to give you insight into people's hearts, because he's the only one that can look on the heart. But he's going to give you bits and pieces of their heart that you can speak words of strength and words of encouragement and words of direction. There are those that are seeking direction. Even close to you right now, there is one that is not going in the right direction. But God's going to send you into their life. And through the love that you have for this individual, and through the peace that you have in your heart for this individual, they're going to listen, and they're going to heed, and they're going to turn. And you're going to be thankful because God is able to do such mighty things. You know, the thing about it is, you know, I've been robbed and I've had the enemy take things from me. I know this in my spirit. But he has to return and he has to give back what he took when I find out. And God is going to show you some things where the enemy has robbed you in your mind, come at you in your mind at times of things that you really didn't even need to be concerned about. And God's going to just like lift off. I just see this lifting off where you become this carefree person. Amen. And you're going to know it. Believe me, I can tell you right now. I witness. You will know it because it's all of a sudden, it's, man, I just feel like I am light. It's like Elisa was, where are you? Elisa, there you are. Jump around if you felt light. You're going to feel so much lighter. Amen. And it's like the enemy's going to really think hard to get something for you to get worked up over because you realize that that was a word from the Lord and it's the power of the Holy Spirit that did that because there's nothing natural about it. I mean, you're literally going to be able to look. It could be like zero money in the bank account and you're just like, so what? You promised to take care of me, you know, if you want it to blow up, guess what? It'll blow up because there's nothing I can do about it anyway. Amen? But all of a sudden, at the last second, you know how it is, last second, all of a sudden, it just comes in somehow, some way. You know, I didn't know how this was going to happen, but I had some money in a savings account, okay? And I used all of it. It was all gone. I didn't know what was going to go on. And guess what happened? Refrigerator goes out. I got to get a refrigerator, right? So I get my refrigerator, whatever, and they deliver a refrigerator. And you know what? There was a $20,000 scratch that went across my wood floor. I couldn't believe it. That's a $20,000 scratch. I had no idea. And my money in that savings account, which what I need to hit back in there, was back in there within 3 weeks. Because I could care less about that $20,000 scratch. Now, I figured that out. I couldn't figure that out. Now, why did God do it that way? It's just because that's the way he did it, just to show me. Amen? And I bless the guys that came in. They did a great job. They just forgot to put something down underneath it. That's right. You know, and you know what? I don't like the floor anyway, so I want it to be tile. But I'm not winning that battle because my wife wants wood. And because I'm wise, I allow it to stay wood. Amen? Because I don't care anymore. You're going to really be blessed. I mean, that God is all over you. Awesome. You really have a great ministry. You really do. All right. Is that your husband there? Amen. God is so good. He's just sitting there like this. He's making it real easy for me to prophesy. Amen. God is so good. I just want to give you encouragement. Brother, I see a teacher inside of you, and God is preparing you for actually platforms or whatever I should say. It may be pulpit, maybe work, maybe somewhere else, homie or whatever, but I really see the word of the Lord coming through you, and God really giving you a real deep hunger to study his word. In fact, I would say even recently you found out things that you knew were in the Bible, but you didn't quite understand them. And God's been opening that up to you, and it's going to cause you to even go down even deeper. But God's going to give you an opportunity to share this truth that the Holy Spirit is revealing to you. So I just want you to be encouraged in that ministry. There's the gift of prophecy is something that everybody should be able to do or can do, I should say, because Paul encouraged it because it builds up the church. That's going to start to move through you. Now, what you see coming through me is a combination of different giftings, but there is prophecy in it. Okay, there's edification, there's consolation, there's exhortation, you know. And so I just want you to encourage you that you're going to be ministering in the prophetic in the days to come. I'm not calling you a prophet. I'm saying that you're ministering in a gift of prophecy because it builds up the church. That's going to be coupled with your teaching gift. And so just be encouraged. And just know this, you know, when God says to go do something, just do it. You know, God told me to come here and open up a door, spoke to Lisa back there and set it all up. And I didn't know how it was going to work out, you know, and it all worked out, you know. So, but when he says go, you got to go. You can't wait. Because it's like a train, you know, and you got to go when he says go. So just be encouraged. He'll open the door. Small doors lead to bigger doors. And I just want to encourage you. God does see what you do at work, by the way, okay? He does oversee work, and he oversees overseers, amen? And sometimes you have been overlooked at times, but God saw and God sees. So just know that, you know, you always will be rewarded, you know, amen? Because the reward comes from the Lord, okay? And that's why you were able to sustain yourself in that place, because God protected you. It's like I see him, he put his hand around and just shielded you, okay? And it was hard, but you walked through it. But God says, I've seen it, okay? And God will take care of it, allow it some time to pass, but just be encouraged that his on the way. And that's how much he loves you, amen? Does that mean something to you, brother? Praise the Lord. God's so good. Thank you, Jesus. Well, you guys never come, so I got to minister over you, I think. Amen. God is so good. No, don't retire, refire type thing. I can do that, but that's just an old prophecy. Amen. You already know that one. God is so good. You know, there's a blessing upon your children that's been blocked. And I believe that God is telling me to give to you a word tonight that the blockages are going to be removed off of their lives. Okay? So just be encouraged. I don't know what kind of wisdom comes through either one of you concerning your children's finances, or if they even ask you, or whatever it is. They may not ask you at all. Or maybe they're asking you for money right now. I have no idea. Or maybe you need to start writing a check, Steve. I don't know. But I'm just saying that there's a blockage there that the enemy has tried to attack them. And I just see God just taking care of it, you know? And your prayers over your children do much. And I feel like the God has really been going to be speaking to you specifically about your children and your children's children or whatever. You know what I mean? That there's some connection of, I almost said the spiritual pyramid, but you know what I'm talking about? It's like I see you as the head and just filtering down. And in your intercession, God is going to be putting things on your heart concerning your kids and your children's children. And these prayers are going to be very, very important. They're foundational. How many times have we heard people have testimonies where they all of a sudden came to the Lord later in their life because they had a grandma or they had a grandpa or they had a dad or they had a mom, but somebody went down their knees and took time and got before the Lord in faith and said, Lord, now you promised my household and my whole household, and it's there, so there's the name. I know you're going to do it. We don't need to talk about it again unless you want me to bring it up, you know? But I just see that happening where God really is going to use your prayers over your children in a real specific way. And whatever the need might be, God is able to fulfill that need. And the timing of God is incredible. I almost see you guys looking back. It's like there's a harvest over here where you've had like a, you got a lot of crops growing, you know? And you have a right to pull from that. And I don't know what it is. There's something coming up in the future where you're going to need to pull from it, but you can make a request in the Spirit and it'll be good. Just know that in Jesus' name. And this is being recorded, so if it doesn't happen, you can bring some rocks next time. Amen. How we say that? And if someone's going to bring a rock one time. Amen. Just hope there's a bad shot. Amen. Amen. Is there anything else? Charles, you got anything back there? You just sit back there so quiet, so nice, so sweet. You must. In fact, I'm going to give you the Cadillac of mics here to show you how much I love you. Then you hold it right up there.
Right.
God bless you.
Nothing's being recorded on that one.
Oh, okay. I got to stay close to you because nothing's being recorded on that one.
All right. I just want to share something with you. This was coming to my mind as Todd was speaking. The things of the Lord, I believe, are increasing in activity and increasing in speed. The power of the Lord is becoming more evident to the people of God. The people of God respond in faith, as Todd was speaking about tonight, and are going to see the move of the things of God more than ever before. I was sharing with some other people just in the past couple of days that I believe the Lord has shown me that we are supposed to be connected to the angels in ways that we have not been, in ways that we have not seen. I believe the Spirit of the Lord is saying not to take this haphazardly, to pray about this and to consider it. We need more revelation. You know, there's that one verse of scripture that says that the angels are ministering spirit sent forth to minister for those who shall be partakers of salvation. And I believe that in some way, in a number of ways, we're supposed to be able to direct the angels. I believe that the Lord has put that there for us as we grow in wisdom and knowledge and begin to understand how this thing is supposed to work. I believe that there are angels sent out just for that purpose, and that we can speak to the angels, and that we can get things accomplished much more than we have in the past because of the angels that are sent forth by our faith and by our word, being led by the Spirit of the Lord. Okay? Amen.
Amen. Amen. Penny?
You could find out there was a reason I was in a hurry. Okay? Yeah. At the end of the worship time, I was praying in tongues. And the word says, if somebody would pray in tongues, let them pray that they can interpret. And I was getting filled with this sense of meaning. And guess what he said? Come as an avalanche. Come as a thunderous waterfall. Come as a raging river. And I had no idea what Todd was going to preach about, what he was going to teach about. But I believe that's for all of us tonight. And I don't think I'll be presumptuous to say, I want you to repeat after me and call upon the Lord, okay? Come. As an avalanche.
Of an avalanche.
Come. As a thunderous waterfall.
As a thunderous waterfall.
Come. As a raging river.
As a raging river.
Yes, Lord God, we thank you, Father.
Amen.
Thank you.
It's amazing. No, it's really cool. I like how people get things, and you find out later, you know, that's what you were preaching on or whatever. She was the one. I'm blaming on you. I am blaming you. I was coming in and telling Lewis last couple weeks ago, I said, you know, God's telling me not to be concerned or anything. And then she comes right in the back and gets me, comes right in the door and says, I got to talk to you. I got a word for you. I go, what? God says, don't be concerned about anything. So I just like, you know, you can't get any better than that. But I just want to encourage everybody here. I think God really is doing a real work in our midst. Let's stand to our midst. I want to bless you. Lord, I thank you for each and every vessel that's come here tonight, Lord. And Lord, I just felt in the beginning of this service, Lord, that I was supposed to pray a blessing over each and every individual tonight. Holy Spirit, you're the one that knows our lives inside and out. Lord, I sense in my spirit there were those that came in weary tonight, needed breakthroughs. There are people that have been financially pinched here, Lord God. I just ask you, Lord, by the river of God, the river that has been released in the Spirit and also in your throne room and coming out of the throne, Lord God, that very river of blessing, that river of substance, that river, Lord, is able to break through, as David said, that you broke upon his enemies like the breaking forth of waters. This same, the Spirit of a living God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I declare a blessing over each and every vessel in this place right now, that there would be breakthroughs, that there would be revelation, that there would be understanding, Lord God. And I thank you, Lord, that that blessing, Lord, would come upon them and overtake them and overflow, Lord God, that this river that is in their midst, Lord God, would also carry a blessing to all those they come in contact with this week, Lord God. I declare it, and I thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Well, if you don't know the Lord and you need to come to the Lord, I'm here to pray with you tonight. If you need prayer for anything, please come up for prayer. We have plenty of people that pray here, believe me.